pictures of film.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no, like, pressure to, like, know them. Yeah. You know, have to be some master at it or something, which is nice. Or if people come over, you know, it's great. It's great for other people to be able to play around. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way. Oh, thank you. I feel like I'm very limited in what I can play because a lot of stuff I don't know. Like, I can't hardly play bar chords, even the few that I know. And I never learned them. I don't have the strength to play. And I'm just now learning to play some stuff with open chords. Like, just now. Yeah. Yeah, they're hard. And I started on a classical guitar, so.
Well, my philosophy is you don't like the key, that's why I love you, but you're capable.
That's right. I'm all about the capable. I'm like, why? Why try that hard? It's like, and I don't know any lead guitar stuff whatsoever, you know, so. I'm like I said, I'm kind of limited in what I can play, but I feel like I became a really good strummer and picker, and that has taken me a long way.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's fun. I love to play.
There we are. Thank you. No? I think it's good.
Singing by
now.
Good morning. Please open your gray hymnals to number 151, I Wish I Knew How, number 151. And the name of the song is called I Wish I Knew How. Okay.
Say
And turn to number 118, This Little Light of Mine, number 118. Take two.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers. Inspired by love, we transform ourselves and serve others. My name is Jennifer Grant, and I'm honored to be your worship associate this morning. I have been a Unitarian Universalist for more than 26 years, and I have made the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers my spiritual home since January 2012. For me, the gift of joining a Unitarian Universalist church is sharing your gifts, talents, joy with the congregation. I love singing with the choir, and I absolutely love being a worship associate here. Today's service is about beliefs, love, equality, and the dance we do through our lives. We will share stories about different people who have been touched by love and who have made a difference in the LGBTQ community. Arlene Goldberg is our guest speaker this morning. For those of you who don't know, Arlene is a bit of a celebrity. She's in the history books. If you Google Arlene Goldberg, you will find 422,000 results. Our own minister, Reverend Allison Farnham, only has 27,000 results. It is truly an honor to share the pulpit with you, Arlene. I also want to welcome anyone who is new to our church. I hope you had the opportunity to stop by our welcome table. You will find a connection card in the pew in front of you. It looks like this. And if you are a guest today, the connection card will give us a chance to connect with you to learn more about you. Be sure to include your email address in the connection card so you can receive our online newsletter and learn about upcoming church events. Place the connection card in the basket when the offering is taken. As you notice in your order of worship, you should see an announcement. There are no religious education class courses this morning because most of our RE volunteers and students will be out of town this weekend. However, there is a Pathways to Membership meeting in the conference room at 12 noon. This meeting is for anyone who is interested in becoming a member of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers. I also invite you to come to church this Wednesday night for our community dinner and participate in the activities after our social hour. And of course, if you'd like to join the music team, we have plenty of room in our loft for rehearsals after our social dinner on Wednesday evenings and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Please join us after the service for refreshment, fellowship, and coffee right next door in Hobart Hall. For those of you who are new, you'll walk out these doors and then you'll make a right turn. And for our guests, please use the yellow coffee mugs for two reasons. The first one is that it is larger and holds more coffee. The second and more important reason is so our members and friends can find you easier to greet you in Hobart Hall. We would love to meet all of you after the service. And our chalice lighter this morning is Arlene Goldberg, and here's Arlene's story. Arlene and Carol met when they were just 13 years old and realized their love for each other at 20. They lived a mostly closeted life with her beloved Carol, her love of 47 and wife of 3 years. They relocated to Fort Myers from New York City in 1989, where they lived and loved together until Carol's death on March 13, 2014. The day that Carol passed, the ACLU of Florida had filed a federal lawsuit on behalf of 8 same-sex couples that were married outside of Florida and wanted their marriages recognized in Florida, where at that time, marriage was illegal. Arlene had no idea what challenges she would face going through the legal issues of Carol's death, but she knew there would be some. So she contacted the ACLU of Florida, and they added her to the lawsuit as a plaintiff. Yes, there were sure challenges. The death certificate never listed Carol as never married. Arlene couldn't authorize Carol's cremation, and Florida would not award widow's benefits. Carol's death propelled Arlene into action, and since then has continued to advocate for LGBTQ community. So here's all of her things that she does. It's amazing. She's the leader in the Southwest Florida LGBTQ community, LGBT community liaison to the press, previous chairperson of UUCFM's welcoming congregation, our congregation here, the ACE Acts Community Action Team participant. She initiated Hope Hospice LGBT Bereavement Group, steering committee for the startup of Kaleidoscope Care Suicide Prevention for LGBTQ, steering committee for the development of LGBTQ Fund in collaboration with the Southwest Florida Community Foundation. It goes on, it's amazing. Co-chairperson LGBT Galas, reactivated PFLAG for Fort Myers, board of directors Pride Southwest Florida, co-founder and board member of Visuality Inc., LGBTQ member of WGCU Diversity Advisory Group, and the recipient of Equalities Florida 2014 Voice Up for Equality Award, public speaker representing the LGB community. So if you could please, I'm telling you, if you could please light our chalice this morning, Arlene. I'm in awe. So please rise in body or spirit and join us in the singing of our covenant. The words are on the screen.
Love is the spirit of this church.
As we sing number 1017, Building a New Way.
Thank you.
am only one, but still, I am one. I cannot do everything, but still, I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something I can do. Remember I said that today was going to be filled with stories. So we have Arlene's story, and then we also have the story of Jenny Rain. Has anyone heard of Jenny Rain? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you the story about Jenny Rain. So Jenny Rain was a normal child growing up here in the United States, and she had a mom and she had a dad. And then, unfortunately, very typical in the United States, what happened to Jenny's parents? They got divorced, and so among the 65% of U.S. Marriages end in divorce. So 65% of marriages end in divorce, and so Jenny Rain's parents got divorced. But what was interesting about her childhood growing up is she had an alternative situation because her mother was the one who was always working late at nights and was not very much around in the household, and her father was. So what's interesting about this story is that Jenny Rain's parents both got remarried. And they both married men. So now Jenny has a mom and a dad, and then she has two stepdads. She has her father's partner, and she also has her mother's new husband. She lived primarily with her dad and his partner, because once again, her father continued to be the main caregiver of her family. So Jenny Rain grows up, and she becomes a very successful woman. She's in her 40s. And remember around last year at this time, maybe around here, there was a lot of debate about marriage equality. And as particularly, should parents of a gay partner or a lesbian partner, should they be able to raise children? And so what the courts did is they said, we want to hear from children. So Jenny Rain spoke, and she said, I had the most incredible childhood ever. And she shared, and this isn't actually a picture of Jenny Rain, but this is just a picture of a same-sex couple with their lovely daughter. And she talked to the court, and she said, there was no difference. I had the most amazing parents, and I had four parents who absolutely adored me. And when I lived with my dad and his partner, we had an amazing time together. And so with Jenny's story, it really told the court system that, you know what, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have a mom and a dad, or a mom and a mom, or a dad and a dad, or just a single dad, or just a single mom. It's all about the love that you receive as a child. And so thank you, Jenny Rain, for sharing your story with us. So I personally have always believed in LGBT rights, especially marriage equality. I attended the March on Washington for lesbian, gay, and bi equal rights and liberation on April 25, 1993. I marched with Unitarian Universalists from all over the country. I was proud to be a Unitarian Universalist. 2 years later, on May 27, 1995, I attended my first ceremony of union for two men who were members of the Paint Branch Unitarian Universalist Church in Adelphi, Maryland. Some 20 years later, I still have Ed and Al's Ceremony of Union program. And I want to read you an abridged version of what was printed on the back of their program. A question often asked when a ceremony of union is performed is why? Why should two persons of the same gender insist on all the formal trappings of what amounts to a wedding in the heterosexual community? After all, at the time, there is no legal sanctions attached to the ceremony. There are no automatic rights of survivorship, no ability to file joint returns on taxes, no property division laws, no family health insurance possibilities, no recognition of joint custody of children, no recognition of next of kin, no admission to the hospital emergency rooms as a family member, no recognition in the courts as a spouse. So why bother? Precisely because of this total denial of the validity of these relationships by society as a whole. The rite of passage is perhaps even more meaningful to a same-gender couple than to their heterosexual counterparts. These rituals are one of the few ways in which a couple can affirm their identity and value as a gay or lesbian persons, and have their couplehood accepted by family, friends, and their church community. I normally do not like when people applaud at the end of a wedding ceremony. I think it's tacky. However, at the end of Ed and Al's ceremony of union, I was the first person to start a standing ovation at the end of their ceremony. I was screaming and hooting and hollering like I was at a bar watching the Browns score a touchdown. I was proud to be a Unitarian Universalist. I returned to Paint Branch Unitarian Universalist Church on Sunday, November 11, 2012, to celebrate with my Unitarian Universalist friends the passing of Question 6, the same-sex marriage referendum. More than 52% of Marylanders voted for Question 6. My Maryland church friends spent countless hours on phone banks and canvassing homes. I was proud to be a Unitarian Universalist. Then I came back home to Florida, and I was very sad. I realized same-sex couples could not get married in my state. My state did not recognize same-sex marriages performed in other states. Gay couples legally married in another state could not collect their spouse's death benefits, nor were recognized as next of kin. On June 29, 2014, this church held a public witness for marriage equality. I was there. At least people in my community supported marriage equality. I was proud to be a Unitarian Universalist. While I deeply wanted Florida to have marriage equality, I never imagined that the courts would decide in our favor. Oh, ye of little faith. On August 21st, 2014, the court ruled Florida's same-sex marriage ban unconstitutional. On January 16, 2015, same-sex marriages became legally recognized in Florida. And 1 week later, on Sunday, January 11, 2015, I attended 11 same-sex marriages right here in the sanctuary. And yes, I was the first person to stand up and cheer for each couple as they were legally married. And I cried many tears, tears of joy. I was proud to be a Unitarian Universalist. On Friday, June 26, 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, declared marriage equality is the law of the land. and same-sex couples could legally get married in all 50 states. I was proud to be a Unitarian Universalist, and for the first time in a long time, I was proud to be an American. While I've been championing marriage equality for more than 23 years, Arlene, you have been on the front lines and in the headlines. You have publicly fought a very personal battle. You are my hero. Thanks to your courage, the Ed and Els and Arlene and Carols in the future generations will be able to get married legally. And the future Jenny Raines will grow up with two loving parents, regardless of their gender. Marriage equality is significant, and we should all be proud. And yet, as we all know, the battle for LGBTQ human rights is not over. Events in our country, such as the bathroom laws for transgendered people who live in North Carolina, or the recent attack in a gay nightclub in our own state, remind us we have much more work to do. Arlene will be right there on the front lines fighting for the battle for LGBTQ rights. Thank you, Arlene, for never refusing to do something that you could do.
Please rise in body or spirit as we join together in singing number 1014, Standing on the Side of Love.
Everybody, I'm so honored to be here today to give this sermon. This is new for me, so I'm really excited about this, but it's my pleasure to be here, and thank you for inviting me. The sermon today will be about a dance we do. Intimacy is a dance we do, and it doesn't require music. Music and low lights may set the atmosphere, create a mood, but folks, there ain't no guarantee intimacy is gonna follow. But don't give up on low lights and soft music. Intimacy does require a bit of stage setting. It doesn't just happen. Sometimes you have to sneak up on it. Sometimes it sneaks up on you. But however it happens, it requires your participation, intentionally or not. When you Google intimacy, the majority of hits have to do with sexual intimacy, often couched in terms of husband and wife. No doubt, because that's the way it's supposed to happen. According to the rule book, of course. Husband and wife, intimacy, sexual intercourse. While sexual intercourse can be a wonderfully intimate thing, intercourse isn't always intimate and doesn't require intimacy, unless we're only measuring by physical proximity. Confining intimacy to the act of sex is much too limiting, much too constraining for this powerfully potent thing called intimacy. Intimacy is the lifeblood of human relationships. I remember early on in a psychology course reading about Harlow's experiments with infant monkeys. It focused on the need for contact. Within hours of birth, he took the babies from their mothers and replaced them with surrogates, made of either heavy wire or wood covered with foam and cloth. Both were warmed by an internal light source. Even when the wire mother was the source of nourishment, the infant spent most of their time clinging to the cloth-covered mother. He concluded the need for closeness and affection went deeper than the need for warmth. Harlow's research informed the importance of mother-child bonding. It pointed to the infant's need for more than food, safety, and warmth, but also the need to feel love, acceptance, and affection from the caregiver. As adults, these monkeys were not well socialized, indicating the long-term psychological effects of inadequate attentiveness to child's needs. Much of modern psychology is based on these experiments. Not getting enough love, acceptance, and affection is not good for any of us, at whatever age we are. But it's clear to anyone who's given it thought. Love, acceptance, and affection is not a given in our relationships. It doesn't come easily. It requires attention and effort. And it can't be had by only one person in the relationship. It's something that must be shared. No doubt, some folks are better at creating nourishing and intimacy than others. Maybe it's cultural. Intimacy is about feelings and emotions, and some cultures don't encourage such things. Maybe it's about gender. We're told women are better at doing that touchy-feely stuff than men. Like in the Harlow experiments, it's something mothers are supposed to do. Assumedly, while men are out slaying the bacon. Maybe it's about our personal histories, whether male, female, or queer. Lurie Gordon told us, because the past continually asserts itself in present experience, both partners in a relationship are obligated to explore for themselves their beliefs, needs, and hopes, and even uniqueness of personality through their family's emotional history. Whatever the reason, and there must be multiple factors, intimacy requires willingness. It requires a willingness to be seen and known, and to see and know another. To see and know the real person, not just the public face one puts on while the world is a stage. On her blog, Shana Shoot suggests we think of intimacy as being spelled differently, with hyphens between four words, in-to-mi-si. Intimacy involves being able to share the whole range of feelings and experiences we have as human beings, pain and sadness, as well as happiness and love, our strengths and frailties. Doing so comes with vulnerability. Letting another see into me places me in a vulnerable position. It exposes my deeper self, my true self. Another person may not be happy with what they see, hear, and know of me. At the same time, seeing into another makes me vulnerable to having my hopes, dreams, and fantasies shattered of who I want the other person to be. To quote a dear friend of mine, if you don't want to get hurt, don't ever love anyone. Shute says relationships without conflict is flowers, fireworks, and fantasy. She writes that conflict can be a vehicle to intimacy, but only if both parties are willing to work through problems. It takes a willingness to understand and to be understood. If we worry about making the other person angry, we run the risk of being inauthentic. And if we place our own ego needs for comfort above the other's need to be seen and known, the window into the other grows small and dim. Yes, intimacy is really risky business. But if we don't have a life of vitality without it, it's a dance we do. A dance, me with you, me with me, you with you, and you with me. Intimacy is built on being real, a willingness to look, to see, to discover, an openness to explore and learn. Some say intimacy starts within, with self. Others say intimacy can be induced. We can be invited into intimacy. I suspect that both are true. Either way, intimacy requires a soft touch of empathy. Empathy for self and empathy for the other. I become more and more intimate with myself when I'm willing to see myself as I am, rather than I am supposed to be or would prefer to be. I've heard it expressed as being able to set yourself apart and see yourself out there in the middle of the table and say, this is what I believe. This is what I want. This is how I feel. This is what makes me happy. And that is what makes me sad or frightened. It's a dance of me with me. The dance of me with you requires that I see you dispassionately, really see, listen, and hear, and maybe even feel your feelings. It means I do not filter what you say, and do not, through my list of shoulds and oughts, when I am able to let you be you without judging you for not being different, I dance with you intimately. When I listen for information, I gain an understanding of what makes you, you. And when we are able to do those things for and with each other, something wonderful begins to emerge. With continued effort and experience, trust builds and comfort unfolds. Like all good fruits and vegetables, it takes time for intimate relationships to ripen. Now it must be said, not all intimate relationships are the same. Since people are different, it stands to reason that relationships will be different. But more than that, it's important to honor the different ways we can be intimate. and intimacy grows within a choir or between musicians as they listen, adjust, and attune to one another. It can be magical to hear jazz musicians take a melody into the land of creativity and then bring it back to the band. A dentist and assistant working in tandem can perform an intimate dance. Colleagues exchanging ideas, exploring territory, can create a particular kind of intimacy. It's intellectual for sure, but it can be intimate nonetheless. If both or all are comfortable sharing and expressing themselves without constraint, there is a certain intimacy that grows up between dear friends. One feels comfortable saying what's on your mind, expressing fears, laments, hopes, and desires. They tell stories and confide confidences they may not share with anyone else. Good friends can sense when another is adrift or out of sorts. One offers to help, or more importantly, simply sits quietly, holding a hand, providing emotional support. It's a slow dance of intimacy. Sexual intimacy is what tends to get a lot of attention. It's the stereotypical definition of intimacy. So much so, the two terms, sex, meaning intercourse, and intimacy, are often used interchangeably. But using the terms to mean the same thing is very misleading. Not all intercourse is an intimate exchange. Sexual intimacy is seldom, if ever, solely physical. I suspect women understand this much better than men, who tend to be culturally trained to dampen or avoid emotions and feelings. Sexual intimacy is composed of any number of subparts. It can be many forms of sensual touch. But before touch can be experienced as sensual, there must be a certain amount of comfort with self and comfort with others or another. That comfort and ease may arise out of intellectual intimacy and or emotional intimacy. We do ourselves and others a disservice when we fail to make such distinctions. Intimacy comes in many, many forms and operates on many, many different levels. But regardless of the type of intimacy in question, intimacy takes time and effort. There is no magic pill or shortcut to intimacy. Intimacy requires a willingness to be vulnerable, to hold oneself out in such a fashion as to be seen and understood. Into me see, intimacy. Into me see that I have wants and needs, hopes and fears, strengths and weaknesses, all of which make me particularly and uniquely human. While our particularities will differ, we are each uniquely human, all of us. We are each unique individuals. None before and none ever will be the same. There is no guarantee of intimacy between any two individuals, but each is worthy of recognition and appreciation. For each of us, intimacy is the lifeblood of a vital existence. Let's travel along the path of non-judgment. Be willing to be self-reflective. Be open to our fellow travelers, for they may have something important to share, even teach. That something may enliven and enrich our lives. They may become a valued dance partner, dancing with or without music. Amen. We're going to have a meditation now, and and it's called Gentleness in Living. Be gentle with one another. It is a cry from the lives of people battered by thoughtless words and brutal deeds. It comes from the lips of those who speak them and the lives of those who do them. Who of us can look inside another and know what is there of hope and hurt or promise and pain? Who can know from what far places each has come, or to what far places each may hope to go? Our lives are like fragile eggs. They crack, and the substance escapes. Handle with care. Handle with exceedingly tender care, for there are human beings within. Human beings as vulnerable as we are, who feel as we feel, who hurt as we hurt. Life is too transient to be cruel with one another. It is too short for thoughtlessness, too brief for hurting. Life is long enough for caring. It is lasting enough for sharing, precious enough for love. Be gentle with one another.
Yes, be gentle with each other. This has been a very sad week for our country. The senseless police brutality on the lives of two black men in Louisiana and Minnesota led to a peaceful protest around the country, which was then followed by the violent protest in Dallas when sniper killed five police officers and wounded six more. Was the deadliest attack on officers since the terrorist attack on September 11, 2001. When will it stop? May the words of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. help ease our pain. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. This has also been a very sad week in our church community. It is with a very heavy heart that I tell you that Jerry Blumenfeld died on Wednesday, July 6th. Jerry was a very active member of our congregation. He sang with the choir and was an interim choir director. And boy, could he play the accordion like nobody's business. I will miss him. And our hearts go out to one of our newest members, LB Johnson, as she deals with the passing of her husband of 25 years, Gregory Johnson, who died this week, also on the same day that Jerry died, after he suffered a major stroke. Please have the Johnson and Blumenfeld families in your prayers, as well as the families who were touched by this past week's series of violence. As is our tradition every week, I invite you forward or to the sides during the music meditation to offer a stone of intention. It could symbolize your intentions, reflections, or prayers, or a jar, joy or sorrow, or a milestone in your life. I have selected two beautiful stones to celebrate the life of Jerry Blumenfeld and Gregory Johnson. Your offered intentions will join with the others in the spirit of life and love. The musicians will play new music until everyone has finished offering their stones of intention. May our prayers be heard and our hearts restored.
Please remain seated as we join together in singing number 170, We Are a Gentle, Angry People.
We are a
Here at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers, we pay it forward every month by donating all of our undesignated funds collected during the offering to a different charity every month. During the month of July, we have not one, but two community sharing recipients, the Erling Learning Coalition and the Literacy Council Gulf Coast. The Early Learning Coalition of Southwest Florida serves the families of Collier, Glades, Hendry, and Lee counties. It's their goal to make certain that children ages birth to five and beyond have access to high-quality early education experiences to cultivate their natural enthusiasm for learning. Literacy Council Gulf Coast LCGC's mission is to assist adults and children to acquire the English literacy skills and education necessary to improve their quality of life and enhance the entire community. And don't forget to offer your connection card in the offertory basket as it passes by so we can all stay connected. If you want to give to our church community, you may write a check and put UUCFM in the memo line, or you may put cash in a yellow envelope and put donation for UUCFM. All of the undesignated funds will be split between Early Learning Coalition and the Literacy Council Gulf Coast. The morning offering will now be given and graciously received.
Feel free to sing along if you know the words, and if you don't, hold on to your hats. One, two, three, four.
Thank you.
And if you'll still sing with us our close as we extinguish the chalice, Carry the Flame. Light of mine, we're gonna let it shine. Peace and freedom is our cry. We will not refuse to do the something we can do. We are gay and straight together, and we are singing for our lives. We are standing on the side of love. Lift up your voice, be not afraid. Sing to the power of the love within. We are beautiful in our own way, because God made no mistakes. We're on the right track, baby. We were born this way. Amen.
Amen.
One, two, three. I'm beautiful in my way. God made no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way.
Thank you. thank you.
That was really fun.